Welcome to Walking in His Word, everybody. Coming at you from Cornerstone Church in Highland, Michigan. Welcome to Walking in His Word, everybody. It's a thankful, thrifty Thursday. Have you ever heard of Thrifty Thursdays before?
I haven't heard of Thrifty Thursdays, but I love thrift shopping.
See, okay, when we say Thrifty Thursday, what we're doing is we're believing and praying for everybody right now for a deal.
A deal. Oh, that's great. You know,
that's I could use a deal. Money off everything. All of a sudden, yeah. DTE calls you and says they're lowering your bill $200 a month, and you're living the dream.
The deal.
Yeah, that's a Thrifty Thursday. Lord Jesus, we just pray for the thrifty, thankful Thursday.
Amen.
See, isn't that great? Don't you want that?
Yeah.
I want that Thrifty Thursday too. And Pastor Tim's preached a great message this week entitled The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. He's talking about the black horse today.
Oh, yeah.
The black horse. The black horse represents a famine.
Not a nice thrifty deal.
A famine. Yeah. Interesting.
It's going to be a crazy message today.
Yeah, it is. It's a wild one. And these horses are crazy. You wonder, too, sometimes when I think about like what John Saul, he's describing it, I feel like the best he knows how as a first century human.
Yeah.
Like some people say like some of the stuff he saw actually describes more like a helicopter.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Or like the military outfits and things like that, where like he doesn't know exactly how to describe it. So he describes it as animals.
Yeah.
And just what his brain can figure it out. But yeah, some of those things are interesting to me. But he describes this black horse coming out of heaven. It's a seal that's open. This black horse comes out of heaven and it represents famine.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk, Pastor Jim's going to unveil all this right now today. So we'll go to the message right now.
That's the Valley of Megiddo. So we're just saying, wow. And I think I read Revelation chapter 19 to the group that went with us. Anybody here tonight that went with us? Yeah. Do you remember the Valley of Megiddo? That was something, wasn't it? Amazing. If you ever get a chance to go to Israel on a tour, it really helps put Bible places, just gets it cemented in your mind, doesn't it? Just really wonderful. So you got worldwide war. And then seal number three, you had the black horse of famine, Revelation 6, 5-6. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse. So this is famine. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius. So a denarius is one day's wage. So basically, a loaf of bread will cost a day's wage. A quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. And so the third seal, the black horse, is famine on the world. And if you would think about this, if there's worldwide war from the red horse, the seal number two, that obviously would lead to famine, right? As crops are not harvested and lands are destroyed, but famine comes. And that brings us to the pale horse. Death and hell. Boy, what a name. Talks about the pale horse. The name who sat on it was Death and Hades, or Death and Hell. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. So if the population is 8 billion, one-fourth on the fourth seal, 2 billion people with the fourth seal perish. That's incredible, isn't it? 2 billion people. That's if the Lord would come back right now. Our population is just increasing from year to year. Could be more than that if the Lord waits and is patient upon his return. Says he's going to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. And so we obviously understand the sword, that's war, and hunger is the famine. And then death that comes naturally through sickness perhaps, and by the beasts of the earth. And so the beasts of the earth, what, lions or whatever? And so I looked at two commentaries on this, and they talked about rats. The proliferation of rats, the carrying of disease, the bubonic plague, killing of millions. They speculated, because it's just speculation, that the beasts of the earth could be referring to possibly rats. It's hard to kill a rat, isn't it? Let's take a look at the fifth seal, the cry of the martyrs. Now, these are those that perish during this tribulation period. To those that believed on the Lord. Well, does that mean us? Well, we've been caught up to be with the Lord. But we know that there's great evangelism taking place during the seven-year period. And these are those that have turned to the Lord, that have believed on the Lord. So when people say the Holy Spirit is removed from the earth, and that's the restraining influence that's removed from the earth is the Holy Spirit, I don't agree with that, because I believe the Holy Spirit is active and involved in saving people during the seven-year tribulation period. People need the activity of the Holy Spirit to be saved. Am I right about that? I mean, I teach on that all the time. You cannot come to Christ on your own. You must be drawn by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you faith to believe and gives you the gift of repentance. It's the Holy Spirit that convinces you of sin, righteousness, and of judgment to come. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and he draws us by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has to be on the earth. And so we have here in Revelation chapter 6, the cry of the martyrs. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And so they're under the altar because they're like a drink offering that was poured out in the Old Testament at the altar. So their lives were poured out as a sacrifice or an offering to God in martyrdom. That's what it means, lad. They were under the altar. And the reason why they were martyred, well, they weren't martyred or put to death because they were evildoers, wicked. They were martyred for the word of God and for the testimony. They actually were put to death because they believed that God's word was God's word. And they had a testimony that they would not relent. They had a testimony of being a believer, and they would not deny that testimony. I mean, praise God that God has people like that. We need to be people like that, right? That where we believe the word of God, and we have a testimony that the world looks at and says, now, they don't deny the Lord. They live out their faith. Their testimony is true. It's valid. Well, we need to live like that, right? But if we live like that, you would think that people would appreciate it, that they would respect it, that they would honor that. But you know what? They rejected Jesus, who was the living Word of God, and his testimony was true, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the enemy, and no one spoke like him. Grace was poured into his lips, and they hated him. And Jesus said, a servant is not greater than its master. If they did these things to me, they'll do these things to you. Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Don't think it strange that the world hates the light. Right? Doesn't the Bible talk about that? And that's what's happening in the tribulation period. These people, well, they're believers, and they're maintaining their faith in God. They're living out their faith, and they're holding fast their testimony. Well, we got to kill them. We can't have that, because the devil hates the light. And if you are a believer, you shine the light. The devil hates that. So there he is, obviously, working through evil men to martyr believers that are saved during the tribulation period. The Bible says in verse 10, they cried with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth. Well, this is a prayer being offered to God by those that were martyred in the Great Tribulation. Basically, the prayer is, we want justice. We want justice. Now, the church age is called the Age of Grace. And when martyrs die during the church age, they say, Father, forgive them. Father, don't lay this sin upon them. But the age of grace, or the church age, ends at the beginning of that tribulation period. The great tribulation is a time of the Lord's wrath. It's a time of the Lord's wrath. Prayers change. It's a time for justice. It's a time for judgment. It's a time for things to be made right. Because God put it in our hearts for there to be justice, right? I mean, when people commit crimes, there's something in us that say, there needs to be justice. Am I right about that? Amen. And here they are, they're crying out, how long, O Lord? How long? Well, it's not going to be long. Because this is a time in which God is now judging this world, the people, the nations, the evildoers. The Bible says in verse 11, a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. I mean, that's really a lot of what I consider the sovereignty of God there. The Bible says that they need to rest a little while longer. Be patient. Justice is going to happen. Your prayer for God to avenge, that's going to take place. But you got to wait just a little while longer until all those that were destined to be martyred are martyred.
This is awesome. One of the reasons God does all this, like, whoa, why is God doing all this? Why is God so being so crazy and like wild and all this? It's calamity. Why? It's because it's what the saints prayed for.
Yeah.
Yeah. God's actually doing all this in response to the prayer of the saints. That's me and that's you and that's anybody else who's, you know, follower of Jesus Christ. We're considered the saints. And the book of Revelation says that the prayers were there in front of the altar, the throne of God, before the throne of God. And finally, he's answering all the prayers. All those being martyred are still in heaven saying, God, when will you avenge us? Mm-hmm. God, when will you judge? When will you take out the enemy? When, God? And finally, he answers all the prayers. And have you ever prayed a prayer like this, Jason? Lord, judge. Lord, come.
Oh, yeah.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
I have too.
I've prayed prayers like that where I'm like, Lord, I know that it's not my place for revenge here, but the revenge is for the Lord.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's why you pray the prayer.
Yeah.
It's because the Bible tells you don't take revenge. God will do it for you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So you say, God, when are you going to
Lord, because it's hard. As humans, we want to put things in our own hands. We want to, if something happens to you, you want to retaliate naturally or whatever's going on in the world. But you just got to leave it to the Lord and trust the Lord. That's why I love the book of Revelation. It just shows what the Lord is going to do and he's going to take us up. So I'm fine with it.
He judges perfectly. Mm-hmm. That's what the Bible says. So everything he does is righteous and perfect. I think that's pretty awesome. We got a great God. Oh, we can't wait to be with you tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Best day of the week. Friday, except Sunday. See you, everybody.
Thank you for listening to our show today. You can find more information at our website, cornerstonehighland.com. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook. We'd love to see you at church one day. Please do not be a stranger.